Hi, I'm Jennifer Vine, President and CEO of the Education Foundation of Sarasota County, and your host for Education Conversations, a discussion forum to share innovative and relevant thoughts, research, and ideas on education today. In this podcast, we explore ways to help prepare students to thrive. Welcome to this episode of Education Conversations, Great Teaching and the Power of Relationships. Each year, I have the distinct honor of being a part of the Ignite Education Teacher of the Year Award Celebration, which is an inspiring event that unites the community around teachers from across our county who really make a difference in the lives of the students. At our celebration this past December, Ronique Major was recognized as the Elementary, School, and the District Teacher of the Year. And today, I'm excited to have Ronique with us to talk about her journey into teaching, why she loves her job, the students that surrounds her in her daily job, and the importance that relationships brings into her work. Just to give you a little bit of background of Ronique, she's an amazing person, and I know you're going to learn to love her as much as we do. She is a veteran teacher with 30 years of experience, and she herself is a product of Sarasota County Schools and a proud graduate of the University of South Florida. She taught elementary school in Maryland for a few years before returning home to Sarasota, where she has remained at the same school, Emma E. Booker Elementary School, where she has taught ever since. And she certainly spends a lot of her time mentoring many teachers along the way. She's an avid traveler with deep ties to her community. I'm sure you're going to hear a little bit about that, a love for her family. And she is absolutely a treasure to our district and to all the young people who step foot in her classroom. So, Ronique, welcome to Education Conversations.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
It is a pleasure to have you. And I can't wait for our listeners to hear more about how amazing you are. So I want to hear first, if you can maybe tell me, you knew from a young age that you wanted to be a teacher. What captivated you about the profession?
It was the atmosphere. I was always in somebody's classroom, whether it was my mom's classroom, my godmother's classroom. I was always at school. My dad coached, so I was cheerleading. I was with the cheerleaders at 5 years old. It was just a place that made me feel very comfortable. I had a fascination with the school supplies, of course, as well. But it was just a place I was comfortable. It just felt right being there. And so when I decided in high school that, you know, I wanted to be a teacher, I'd done tutoring, like private tutoring before that. So I've always enjoyed working with children. But I just knew that that was the thing for me. And it was seamless to just, you know, to work with children and to teach. And again, I had the best role models, so there was no other thing to do.
Well, it's amazing you say you had the best role models, because it really is so impressive that you are from a family of educators. So you commented about your mom and your dad. I think you have some other family members as well that are part of this whole educational ecosystem. Yes. Can you shout those out as well?
My dad was an administrator. So not only was he a coach here in Sarasota, he was administrator in Dade County Schools. My stepmother was an administrator in Dade County Schools. My godmother was a teacher. She taught at Ashton, and she also worked in like early childhood education at the district level. Her daughter was a teacher, and she was a retired principal who's now come back home as well. I have cousins who are educators, so it's just what we do.
It is in your blood. Yes. That is for sure. Oh my gosh, that's really great. So you've had great teachers throughout your K-12 journey yourself and even into college. And I know, even one of them showed up. Yes. That really is impressionable. When you were getting recognized as Teacher of the Year, that was so impactful for the people who were in the audience. So what are some of the qualities that made them so special and so successful?
I think they saw me. They saw who I was. The one teacher that you're speaking of in particular, Laura Welch, who was my fourth grade teacher, who was the toughest teacher I've ever had. I'm turning into her and I'm proud to say that I'm turning into her. But every teacher I've had, and when I tell you, I literally have had 1.5 bad teachers from nursery school to 12th grade, just 1.5. And every teacher I had, just they saw me for who I was. They celebrated my strengths. They stretched me when they could, when I would allow it. I just had great, great teachers, and they were just personable. They they definitely built a relationship with me. I think of one of my teachers that she lives in, I think, North Carolina or Tennessee. She was my Spanish teacher. I had her from 9th grade to 12th grade. Mm. And we would go on Spanish competitions. We would go to her house. We practiced. And I just was always around her. And she just had the best personality. So when I'm celebrating things on Facebook about my other students or my accomplishments, to have her say something, to have her compliment me, means the world to me. She was just, she is a treasure to me. Just, you know, I'm still in touch with all my teachers. If they're still breathing, I'm in touch with them.
Yeah.
And I love every single one of them. I love that. I'm who I am today because of them.
Wow. So when you think about like the recipe of being a highly effective teacher, and you understand kind of in our state, we have the standards, and in the district, you know, and we look at all the measurements of how we look at a high quality teacher, what are the things that are in that recipe that may not be showing up on those metrics? What's the distinctive difference that maybe you even tell some of the young teachers that are moving into the profession, focus on X and you will be Y? You see what I'm saying?
Yes. Well, my number one thing is be present today. Mm. Be present for those children today because they need you today. It's not about tomorrow. Don't count down the spring break or summer. They need you today. They need you to be present today. There are children who may never receive a compliment just to say you did a good job. They may never hear that. And you may be the only person that gives that to them on a regular basis. So we have to find something that we can celebrate in all of our children. Not being distracted by the things going on around you. You are the teacher. You are the professional. And allow yourself to be treated as such. So you have to carry yourself as a professional as well. That is just really, really important to me because if you come in lackadaisical, you can't demand that somebody treats you, you know, with the respect you feel you deserve. Mm-hmm. So you've got to work just as hard for that respect. You have to earn it. You definitely right. have to earn it from the children and from the families and from your colleagues as well. Having an open mind, you just have to realize that, yes, this is what they're telling me, but I have this group of children. How am I going to reach them? Because everything is just a cookie cutter mm-hmm. solution, you know, just because the book says this works for this lesson. Okay, my kids might not get that. So be willing to stretch and not just say, well, they don't get it, I give up. So you have to be willing to stretch and communicate with your colleagues to say, okay, this didn't work for me. What worked for you? So you can't just be in isolation. You have to work as a team. And when you're working together as a team, then you become that family.
And it sounds like that takes intention and effort.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Would you say the majority of teachers are designed like that?
I would say yes. I follow some teacher groups on social media. And when I see things and I hear things, I'm just shocked at what is happening across the country mm-hmm. and what happens in some classrooms. And I'm just grateful. I said, you know, hey, Sarasota may not be that bad after all. Mm-hmm. I feel that there are more teachers having positive experiences. However, I also see that the teacher shortages that we have, mm-hmm. everybody's not built to do this.
Right.
Unfortunately. And you have to have the support of your district, your administration, especially the administration. They have to be behind the teachers because why stay? If, you know, if the person who's leading the school is not supporting you, why should you stay? So you really have to figure out what's your why. You really do, and not to your detriment.
Right.
You know, but this is my why, and I have somebody who supports me, and I'm going to work hard for that, for my why, so that my children can be productive and not just pass standardized tests, but be good citizens and be good people.
Yeah, I hear that often too. In fact, when you and I were just recently at a forum, when we ask people what they want to see as outcomes for students when they graduate from high school, so often we hear about being a good citizen.
Yes.
So
yes.
Going back then to the work that you commented about, you know, developing those relationships and showing up and being present, how does that translate into student achievement?
In developing those relationships with students, especially students who may be low performing or who may have a struggle in a particular subject, math was mine, and mm-hmm. that's what I'm teaching now, math, because I get it. I understand the struggle. But when you develop that relationship with a child, when you're praising them and you're showing them and they're doing it, and they may get the end of the problem may be wrong, but boy, look, you got those first two steps. You did that all by yourself. Okay, that was great. I am so proud of you. Then you're helping that child to develop their confidence. So it may be in that one little area that you're doing it and you see it somewhere else later. one day I made the mistake. I don't know. It was kind of funny. I let the children, I was like, okay, well, you be the teacher. You get up and you teach. And they were me. That's all I can say is they were me. And I was like, wow. And they were giving praise to each other in the way that I would do it. They were asking questions in the way that I would do it. I said, I don't really do that. They're like, yes, you do.
Oh, so, that's so
But, you know, it's just so important when you develop that relationship with them, someone who would rarely talk now has a whole conversation to have with you on a regular basis. I have one little boy who is very quiet, but I always make a point of having just my own little private conversation with him, as I do with all my kids. I find some way in the day that I have a private conversation, maybe just with an individual, maybe with two or three. But when I have those conversations, it has nothing to do with school. Right. And then when it comes to we're going to do something, they know that I believe in them and that, you know, okay, you know, she takes time out with me, so I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try really, really hard. And that is so important.
And that's so wonderful that you do that. And that's what's impressive also is how when you ask the students to lead the class, they were modeling the very behaviors that you now have been showing to them. Yes. So it really does show you the impact of that. So you're still in touch with a lot of your students
Absolutely.
From before. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So give us a couple of examples of kind of the relationships you developed and how that looks like from, and how old are my gosh, you've been 30 years in the classroom. Yeah. These are parents themselves.
Yes, they are.
So what
yes,
are you are. Seeing? Give us a little example.
So my very first year, I had 29 students. One of them, she went to college for nursing. And she was a child who spent a lot of time with me outside of school because her mom was in the military. She was a latchkey kid and she lived down the street from the school. So she would just come and hang out and I'd be like, okay, you know, I'll take you home when I get ready to leave. So we were always around each other. So she went to college for nursing. I can't remember. She did graduate with a nursing degree. When her father passed away, she called me. And I hadn't heard from her in a little while, but I was back in Florida by then. And she called and she was just crying. I was like, what's wrong? And she said, my dad passed away. And the thought that I taught her in third grade, she's graduated from college and she's calling me to tell me that her dad passed away.
Wow.
And that she was so sad. That just meant so much to me that even after all those years, I was that person you came to.
Yeah.
And now she's a teacher. She's a middle school teacher. So she went from nursing to teaching. And I remember she was visiting Florida. And I said, you know, so what are you doing now? Mm-hmm. You know, what's going on? And she was like, at that time, she was teaching kindergarten. I cried. I literally cried because I never thought she would go into education.
Wow.
So that was just like, oh, amazing. I had another student from that same class. She's an assistant principal at a middle school. And she had been off Facebook for some years and I have so many pictures and things that they're all grown with children. I have pictures that they made for me. I still have them. And I put them on Facebook one day and I tagged everybody in them. And she was like, I haven't been on Facebook in 4 years. And I just saw the picture that you posted. And so she shared with me that she's an assistant principal at a middle school in North Carolina. That was amazing. So I just love keeping up with them. Even when I got married, I had a whole family. When I say whole family, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents drive down to Florida to celebrate with me. So it's just, you know, those relationships are so important to me. But I'm teaching my former students' children now. They're kids now.
Absolutely
and
incredible.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So one of my coworkers calls it our grand students. They're our grand students.
So. How you have maintained the energy is really impressive. I mean, it really is.
But they keep you on your toes. Like, that's the fun thing. When you love your job,
yeah.
When you truly love it, especially working with children, you enjoy it and it's fun. And I don't get up in the morning and just say, oh, I don't want to go to work today. I don't dread going to work. Now there may be days you just say, I got a lot of work I need to get done. I wish kids weren't here today so I could just get a lot done. But I don't dread going to work because I'm excited to see their faces. I'm excited to see them. When I spoke at the luncheon at our first fundraising luncheon. And so I went back to school. Well, my kids had been with another teacher and they were bringing the furniture back into the classroom. So I was just sitting in the room, you know, they knew I was back, but I was just sitting in there quietly doing some work. And so they came in and without skipping a beat, they just bring their chairs to my table. I've got like three or four kids sitting and they're just like not even saying a whole lot, but they have the chairs just sitting there. So my teammate jokingly says to them, leave my best friend alone. Like, I haven't seen her all day. And they said, and we haven't seen our friend either. So I thought it was the cutest thing because we weren't even saying anything to each other, but they just sitting there.
The close
they just,
connection.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this happens every day, all day long. And I'm just like.
Well, you certainly created a safe space.
Yes.
Where they absolutely feel as though they can be who they are. And you have provided that forum for them. So again, absolutely. Kudos to you. So continuing on with about like the just the relationships, and you spoke about how it makes a difference for students and student achievement. How do you see the power of relationships as it translates to teacher, and particularly as you're mentoring young teachers? Why is that so important?
Well, when I think back to my internship days, I had some amazing teachers that I wish I still kind of knew where they were, because I really appreciated the time they took to mold me and to teach me things that I wouldn't get in the classroom per se. My teacher that I interned with at Emma Booker is still there, and she's become family. She is truly a big sister to me. And so it makes me want to be a better teacher because I know what she did for me. And so I've had three like back-to-back interns. The young man, we were talking and I was just like, your last name. I said, your dad used to work at Emma Booker. And he said, yeah. And I said, I've been to your house before. I said, you all have a long hallway from the front door to the back of the house. And he was like, yes. And I said, and you were my barista at Starbucks one day. Like, I remembered those things, and he and I are very close. But it was just remembering that, like, he never said anything about his dad being a teacher at the school. But as he's talked,
yes.
I was like, your dad was here. And then I had another intern, and you meet them online. So it was on Zoom. And so the young man, we're sitting there talking, we're in a breakout room, and I'm just looking at him like, he looks like somebody that I know. And his mom and I were best friends in middle school. I was in their wedding.
Oh my goodness.
And so I was like, wait a minute, what's your name again? So it was just that, I think that made both of their experiences easier, and you know, they were comfortable. So it was okay to make mistakes. But the intern that I had that is now a teacher. So the last three are all teachers in this district. She's out on maternity leave. So I called her last week. I was like, okay, I'm just checking. How's everything going? And I was like, okay, I'm sending dinner to your house. So you just let me know what day you want. But you have to feel a part. Again, it's not an isolation. Mm-hmm. And for some people, they do function that way. I personally don't. I thrive on relationships. But it does. It makes those bad days so much easier. It makes those days where you feel like you're a failure, it makes it so much easier because you can go to someone who's not going to judge you, mm-hmm. and be like, okay, you know what? I really messed up today. And it's just like, all right, well, let's see what happened. Let's talk about it. All right, how do we problem solve this? What could we do? What could you do the next time? What could you do better? So just always being there and knowing that they have someone to turn to, that they don't have to be sad in isolation. You don't have to fail in isolation. We're going to celebrate you publicly as well. So it's just knowing that you have someone there. And I think that makes you a better teacher because then you're able to share that, all that you've gleaned from someone else, with another teacher.
Yes. And it creates a supportive network.
Absolutely.
For sure. So you became the Sarasota County District Teacher of the Year. So hallelujah to you. Congratulations. That's a huge accomplishment and recognition. Yes. For your incredible hard work and your professionalism. You now have just submitted your application to the state.
Yes.
And that's now going to be competing against 67 counties in the state of Florida. I'm sure you are going to be representing us so well. But I'm curious to know, the person who is selected as the Florida Teacher of the Year usually has a platform, a message that they want to convey and communicate to others. Do you have a message or anything that is resonant for us that you might be able to give us a little sneak peek on?
I would definitely say relationships. Think of education as a target. Mm-hmm. And those relationships, those children are the center. That's the bullseye. And when you hit that every time, regardless of wherever else your darts hit on that target, you're going to be successful, because once you have those kids in your hand, they will do anything and everything for you. That is just so important, building those relationships. And I know, you know, I think about like the older grade levels, and I know it may be hard. And I often wonder, if I had to go teach high school for a day, what would that look like for me? Would I be able to build those relationships with those students? And I really think I would. I think I would, because even in my church, I've worked with the seniors, the older kids. I actually had the girls' Sunday school class. And it was really fun. You know, it was just like, I didn't think I liked middle school kids, but I do. I didn't think I would like high school kids, but I do. So, you know, it's just those relationships, because you never know what people are going through. And oftentimes when we're going through things, we feel like we're going through it by ourselves. So that would just be my biggest thing. And to build a relationship with your, not only your students, but with your colleagues. And also when you build them with the students, you're building it with the families as well.
Well, there is a lot of truth, and I know this has been stated before, that progress advances at the speed of trust. So when you think of students advancing and progressing through their educational journey, the more they trust the people they are surrounded by, I think you really have just made a very strong case for why relationships are so important. So I really do appreciate that. All right, so on just on a fun side note, I hear you like to travel a lot.
I do.
So tell us a little bit about that.
So last year I went to Dubai for spring break.
Oh, wow.
And that was really, really fun. I like to watch 90 Day Fiancé. So I was familiar with like the customs and the expectations. So I went with a group. It was five of us. We went to Dubai for like 5 days. And just being around the customs and, you know, having seen things on television and then you see them like in real life and experiencing that and honoring their traditions and their culture, that was just really, really special to me. So I love that. And then in the summer, I went to Japan.
Oh.
My teammate was given one of the Brandzik fellowships and her husband couldn't go. So she asked me,
darn.
Well, would you mind going? Sure, I'll go. And Japan was never anything on my radar that I wanted to go to. Oh, I can't wait to go back. It was amazing. We went to Tokyo, Kyoto, and Osaka, and it was just amazing. It was absolutely beautiful. The experiences, the food, that was great. The next place I would like to go to Costa Rica. I want to go to a Spanish-speaking country where I'm forced to use the language. So that's the next thing I want to do.
That is outstanding. You've had some great opportunities. And again, it just demonstrates that good teaching is also good learning. And travel is such a great way to learn. And how wonderful that you were also the beneficiary of your teacher who won the Ripple Effect Award. So that's really terrific. So, I really just so appreciate you being a part of this podcast. I don't know if you have any final words of anything you would say maybe to a teacher that may be out there that isn't feeling the impact of their work or is maybe at a crossroads right now saying, you know, maybe teaching isn't for me. Do you have any words of advice you'd share with that person?
I think I would really say, think about what is your why? If you have to find that one student that I'm here for, this student, let that be what propels you to go forward throughout the day. And again, you know, I've gone through some traumatic things in my life, even, you know, through the teaching career that didn't happen, that were personal things. But when I got to school, I forgot about all of that because I had these kids that relied on me. So they were my why. It was just, I cried on the way to school. When they left the room, I cried. But when they were in front of me, I was the sage on the stage and I was there for them. I couldn't think about what I had to go through. And I just really feel it's so important. What is your why? And who was that teacher that made you who you were? Who was that teacher that you were excited to go see every day? That's the teacher you need to be.
That's great advice. Thank you for sharing that. And Ronique, thank you so much for being a part of our podcast.
You.
And again, congratulations for being Sarasota County's Teacher of the Year. I can't wait to see you in June in Orlando. Yes. We will be cheering from you. You have already just represented us so, so well. So really appreciate you joining us today and being a very caring, lifelong learner and incredible teacher. So everybody, I hope you really enjoyed learning from Ronique today. And if you want to learn more about the resources that we provide to students and teachers through the Education Foundation, we certainly encourage you to visit our website at edfoundationsrq.org. And we always want you to get involved in our work because we know teachers really need the support and we want to do everything possible to make them feel valued. So everyone, thank you so much for listening to today's episode and be sure to tune into other episodes of Education Conversations. For now, this is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.